All right. Oh, man. Beautiful morning out. Getting started on a podcast I've been thinking about all week, maybe a week and a half. Just get warmed up for a second here. You know, we had a bunch of snow. It's been rainy. Still getting snow. It was the 10th and we got snow. And today and tomorrow we're supposed to have a little bit of sunshine. Melt this about 6 inches off, and then a week of rain. But just kind of noticed yesterday, like my spirits just felt malaise, you know, just the and it was coming back from I had an amazing trip. I went on a road trip out to see my buddy, my brother. We served in the Marine Corps together, Armand. We were in the Marine Corps together for probably 3 years, 2.5, 3 years. We did a 31st MU together. My radio operator, you know, platoon commanders and the radio operators, they develop pretty special bonds. And this guy, ridiculously talented. Then we did the war together. He's just the dude, man. He was the driver during the ambush. But we did so much more, shared so much more than just that. So I cruised out to Iowa for a little reset, reconnect with him and his family and two amazing young kids, man, Iceman and Milo, 9 and 6. And just, it just filled the spirit just to drop everything and just go, you know. 12-hour drive one way wasn't that exciting. And I drove because I ordered a bunch of shitters. Because I want to replace all the shitters in the house, and I needed to get some high flush shitters, so I had them shipped to his house and went and picked them up. I yanked one out yesterday, and it's like, trying to put it together, and it's different brands than the one it was in, and different mounting and closet freaking bracket and stuff, so now I'm trying to figure that out. And I thought it was just an easy plug and play, and it's turning into a little bit of a process here. Wax rings and weird shit, but anyways, yesterday, long trip, but I was mulling over this thing about being a monster and develop aggression and controlled aggression, morality, you know, a certain tenacity. I'll set the stage for how it came about. Was another buddy of mine, he reached out and was saying, hey man, I just wanted to hear your thoughts, love to hear your thoughts on young men, adolescents, and trying to, you know, balance this new wave moving through the world. You know, this whole toxic masculinity popped up real quick for a little while, and now this culture that's sort of pervading and then wanting to reinforce that, you know, his son, he needs to develop and build a certain aggression and tenacity and not be afraid to be a man, and some of the things that some of the traits that are attributed to masculine traits, right? Like, not, you know, men and women both have masculine traits and feminine traits. Function of hormones, function of whatever, function of society. I talked about it on a podcast maybe a year ago or so. Toxic masculinity post, but, you know, and then he texted me a page to an article on the monster, right? How to become a monster. And, you know, Jordan Peterson recently was on a podcast with Jocko, or Jocko was on a podcast with Jordan, whatever, and they talked about the monster, right? And it's interesting because I had been talking to a couple Marines that have recently reached out in the last month or two, month and a half, struggling with things. They find themselves getting angry and aggressive, and it's just like, yeah, hey, this monster, I got this monster inside, and what do I do, Tosh? Like, what do I do, sir? Like, I just, I'm kind of processing it, and so I think the two maybe are related, but they're not the same. I think too often we pull something that we read about, and then we take that with a superficial understanding of it, and then we apply it to a different scenario when it's slightly out of context, and that's where it can go downhill. And I wonder about that. So I decided to shape my thoughts along the drive, and I didn't dig into Jocko's podcast. I read a little article. I heard a snippet. You know, you see these cute little Instagram posts with a quote or something, and it's like, okay, cool. But I really wanted to, process my own thoughts. Like, who am I? Who am I to trump up Jocko or Jordan Peterson anyways, right? Like, what am I going to do? I'm going to read their stuff or listen to the podcast and then get on my own podcast and try to trump it up. Just go listen to their stuff. I mean, they say it how they need to say it the best. So I'm not interested in trumping that up. So that's why I didn't want to dig into that. I wanted to process my own thoughts and then share them out loud, give them life. And there's a responsibility in that, right? Like, there's a responsibility in owning your own thoughts and opinions if you're going to share them. Making sure, what do I mean by responsibility? I mean, like, making sure that they are well-founded, rounded, not too overly acute or obtuse. Just have something. And then also note that they are just your initial thoughts and opinions, right? And then I'm going to seek out other writings or other podcasts or something like that and do some research and then grab the meaning that other people say. And then you can kind of check your own processes, your own thoughts, your own opinions, and balance them with other things. That's just the way I like to work. And I also don't like getting a superficial, right? Like some sort of superficial understanding of something, a cursory, right? Like I'm just going to read a headline or I'm going to read a couple sound bites and then think I know everything about something. Like I really want to dig and think through it, make meaning of it, referenced, balanced across my own life and experiences. But not just automatically assume that, oh, now I know everything. Oh, I'm just going to, I heard a 3 minutes of a 40-minute podcast and heard a couple things and now I'm just going to regurgitate that and the damage that I could do in doing so. I really try to refrain from that. But anyways, I kind of want to tackle into, because I've already talked about toxic masculinity and how I feel about masculine and feminine traits not having to do anything with gender or sex or whatever. It's just certain traits we just identify them as masculine and certain traits we identify them as feminine. And they just happen, we happen to identify them that way because they present themselves in greater capacity in males or females or whatever, right? But it's just a classification. It's not an insult to anybody. It's not a suggestion to anybody. We just, and you know, you could flip-flop the traits and call the ones that we previously called masculine, we could call them feminine. Who cares? We gotta categorize and classify things, right? Words have to have meaning. And that's sort of like the big argument against postmodernism anyways. So that's where I stand. But this monster inside of us, we got to develop a monster. Let's just like Jordan Peterson talking about. We all need to be a monster. We need to develop that monster inside of us, right? Like there's a quote: "A harmless man is not a good man. A good man is a very dangerous man who has that under voluntary control." And it's like, cool, right? I understand that a dangerous man. And a monster, we put these words monster and dangerous man, and then he's not talking, or I don't take it as like, oh, we've got to be a demon and we got to be vicious and long teeth or spitfire or just horrific, you know. I think having a capacity for violence, for danger, for aggression is important. Let me stop there because I'm not making much sense out loud when I hear myself talk. Go back to this monster thing. You know, when we hear the word monster or we hear the word dangerous man, we images conjure up in our framework of something big and ugly, and we're sensationalizing it because we've been sensationalized by TV and media and, you know, comics and whatever. Like, what's the monster and what's this and what's that? And it's like, yeah, it's a capacity to do things, but it doesn't have to take that shape. And I don't want to over-glamorize this so-called monster that I have inside. Like, yeah, I've got a monster inside. I think everybody should have a monster inside, men or women, right? But I don't want to over-glamorize it to be Godzilla or something, you know? Or something ugly, something sinister. It doesn't have to take that on. It has to do with, okay, hey, I will, when certain things get triggered or tripped, I will end up releasing that and acting and behaving in a certain way. And let me throw another one. It's about, let me not go there yet. So anyways, I'm babbling a little bit here, probably losing people, but it's okay, because I think it's important to think about, what does monster mean? I got this monster inside. Yeah, I've done bad things. Fine. I've done things that are right and wrong. I've done wrong things. That's all, however petty. It doesn't have to be super huge on some spectrum, right? Or some continuum. It's like, yeah, I've done things like that before. I've seen and I've tasted, and you realize, like, okay, hey, that's not conducive or to good moral fiber, but it happens. It's an eventuality. And so, yeah, there's a monster inside. And now, what am I doing with that monster? It's good to have a monster. It's good to develop skills and traits and characteristics that, in a time of extremists, that monster will present. And it is about survival or standing up for something that is virtuous. Sometimes you have to unleash a monster in order to overcome other evil so that you can fight on the side of virtuosity. Not virtuosity in the sense of excellence of movement, but like virtuous behavior, goodness, you know. And there's a thing that, like, every hero has an evil monster inside, right? It's just that they have it in control and they use it responsibly for morality, right? And so just kind of understanding that. It's now when I run into things, it's like some people like to advertise they have a monster. It's all they do. They advertise they have a monster. You know, my monster inside. And they're always talking about this monster and how cool they are because they got it under control, this, that. And it's like, yeah, missing the point, right? Like, I get it, but that's that superficial understanding, you know? Because what they're doing is they're flaunting an idea in order to compensate for a weakness of insecurity, right? Like, or a unevolved identity. And so I kind of look at that, right? Like, so it's like, no, hey, like, this person, we always got to talk about being a monster and preparing for this and preparing for that. And it's like, okay, hey, that's your identity, is to flaunt that you need to feed that monster to get it. And I don't think it's wrong or anything. I just think there's got to be some balance, and some people take it out of the extreme, right? Because there's so much more than that. That's just a little thing. And if you keep feeding that dude and you're letting him out, so to speak, at least you're putting him on a leash and he's getting to walk around in the daylight when you do that. And it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it starts to become more and more your identity, right? It's, you know, and there's we got to be careful too of personalities, and like, just like you could say, like, the UFC or boxing or some of these really aggressive, right? And they have that stuff. And yeah, those people with their profession, they end up nurturing that monster because it's got to come out in the cage or something like that. And it's okay, cool. It's part of their profession. It's part of their identity. It's part of their persona, entertainment, and whatever. But hey, let's face it, 99% of us aren't those people. And if we're always walking around in our everyday life, letting our monster on the leash for display so other people can try to pet it and get bit or like be scared of you or timid or not want to engage, and that's wrong, right? Like, you got to think, you got to think, like, 99% of the time, that's not who we need to be, right? And I'd submit probably. I don't want to submit that. So that's my piece on this monster thing. Like, you gotta keep it inside. Keep it caged up. You got to feed it a little bit, maybe. Maybe not. Like, maybe you don't feed it because it feeds on its own. There's enough evil. There's enough resentment. There's enough jealousy. There's enough negative energy in the world that if you need, you starve that thing like a cancer. Starve it of sugar just so that you can be better able to contain it. You don't have to feed it. You don't have to feed this monster. You can't be afraid of it either, right? Like, and yeah, hey, like, I'll go out and I'll do workout, or I'll go box, or I'll do whatever, or I'll wrestle. It's like, okay, cool. Or I'll go take the gun and we'll start shooting. Am I developing skills that make the monster more dangerous? Sure. And I think that's good. But I'm talking about, like, hey, those skills, he's still got to come out of the cage and then, like, open up the storage locker and grab that thing. You know, you have to create these systems of checks and balances, these stages, so that it's just not like, hey, the monster just comes out and now he's got access to be a total fucking asshole, right? Like, we don't want that. So we have to build these steps and these layers, these obstacles for that monster, because really, ideally, we don't want to ever have to use that thing, right? Like, and that's hard. You know, think about just like training for war, like, oh, pray for war. Oh, I just can't wait to be able to try my skills out on an enemy to see if I'm good. It's just like, yeah, that's the conversation that we have in ignorance. And then after you go and you see the horrors of what you can do and the horrors of what other people can do in a combat scenario, most people have that reflection of like, yeah, that was naive to pray for that. I don't want that. You know? And so it's hard to like go about this. Like, yeah, I want to train. I want to develop skills and capabilities that will make that monster more dangerous, hoping with all sincerity that I never have to use that monster. And so then it's like, oh, well, all the training was for naught, right? That's the implication there, that, oh, well, all that training then is just waste. Like, then why? If you're never going to use it, then why? And then that's where I catch myself in that back and forth. But the value, actually, I'll talk about this in a second. I wanted to set something else up, but the value is your true strength that you gain comes from the actively, passively controlling and developing your processes and thought mechanisms and values and virtue in opposition to that monster being released and able to use the skills that you've been developing. That's where your greatest strength is derived from, not the strength that the monster can bring to bear upon an opposing force. That's not the strength. It's you building up all these other capabilities to make that monster more and more lethal, and then therefore your control is then obligated to be stronger and stronger. And that's where we arrive at great strength, is people with strong, virtuous moral fiber, common decency and goodness and perspective and all of those things, right? And we don't let it drip, permeate into pride and ego. It's controlling it and being aware of when it is dripping into there, into the pride or the ego or these other things, and building an awareness to be able to put that back in check and yank it back. That's the greatest strength, you know? Recognizing when you're unduly like advertising this monster, like, okay. So the other thing I've noticed when I was talking to this one devil dog, super good dude, man. We served together 2-5 maybe. I don't want to say his name because it doesn't matter. It does matter, but not to an audience out loud. We were in a fleet together. We did a deployment together. And he was having trouble like managing things, and he reached out. And my advice to him was, hey, stop looking for a reason to unleash the monster. You're walking through life right now, hurt, angry, and you're looking for the reason to feed the monster and unlock them. And that's wrong. You're looking for the reason to unlock him. No way. You should be looking for every single reason to not unlock him. He'll unlock himself when the time is right. You don't need to plan for it. You just build your devices to continually keep him shackled and in a cage and starved. He's getting fed. He's getting fed by other little things in the thought schema, right? Like your negative thoughts that all feeds that dude. And he draws strength from all the good things that you do as well. Don't worry about it. He's getting plenty of food. He's growing appropriately. So don't look for reasons to feed him. Don't look for excuses to let him out. And I think that's kind of how I take that quote about a dangerous man. You know, it's a good man. A harmless man is not a good man, but a good man is a very dangerous man who has it all under voluntary control, right? Like, that's how I kind of take that quote. You can see where it's different, gets spun a different way too often. And I don't know, maybe I'm off. You know, I can read his book, his new one, and hear about it more and more podcasts. But that's how I'm processing it right now. That's the advice I give people that are struggling. You know, my wife cheated on me, or, you know, fucking my neighbor, you know, slashed the tires of my car or whatever. Something that's getting you, something that's, you're getting provoked into action by something. And you're in control, but you know that you're teetering. And your mind is going, how can I rationalize just releasing control and just responding and reacting? And I think that's no good. I would say pick a number, like 48 out of 49 times or 72 out of 73 times. I don't know. Pick a number, 1,015 out of 1,016 times. It's not appropriate to let that control go, you know? For every reason that you can think of letting that control go, there's probably a dozen more to keep it in control. And what do we end up doing? We end up siding with emotions, whether it's hurt or anger, jealousy, you know, confusion, whatever it is. Even some more benign ones like fatigue or sleep or cold, uncertainty, like those are all. And we try to look for reasons to unleash or to advertise. It's like, yeah, you know, remember growing up, it was always, and there's a song too, Pearl Jam song about, what's it called, Jeremy, you know, and what's the quote, like, seemed like a harmless little fuck or something, then he unleashed and hit me with a left hook, something like that. Like, it's the quiet ones, the unassuming ones, that are the most dangerous. Those are the most dangerous ones. I don't know if that's 100% true or not, but I remember being, that was a thing back in the 80s growing up. Like, yeah, hey, just like, don't pick on that quiet one because he's going to fucking snap. You know? And when he does, it's going to be ugly. It was always usually the loud ones. The ones pushing the bullies or whatever that had the greatest insecurity and the lack of capacity because they hadn't spent any time controlling anything, so they didn't develop those capacities for control, which is your greatest strength. And yeah, they, on the surface, they appeared to be the toughest and the baddest, and you know, they relegate us with all their stories and pushing us and threatening us and everything, and it's like, okay, cool. And it's not to say that they're not dangerous, they're plenty dangerous, but usually you can disarm that when you grow savvy, right? So, anyways, I gave Tia some advice, like, hey, everything that you're saying, I get it. Like, man, those, they all sound like good reasons to fucking get bent and go off. They all sound like good reasons, but what I'm recognizing is a lot of those reasons are coming from a place of hurt and anger, and you're emotional. But the best reasons are to stop looking for the reasons, right? The rational place to be is to not look for the reason to unleash that thing. And you'll find that, yeah, keep that dude. When he starts to get close to coming out, that's when you got to tighten the tighten the straps even more, put an extra padlock on the cage, put an extra chain. I don't care. Pick whatever analogy, metaphor, something you need to. And you just keep resisting. You just keep resisting. You keep resisting. Because you're going to come out. And I'm not talking about like, hey, sometimes you got to be a dick. Sometimes you got to be aggressive. Sometimes you got to be an asshole, whatever, to solve certain things. But that's not the monster we're talking about. That's not the monster we're talking about, you know. And so, anyways, I think you gain so much more by keeping it in control. And as you start to slip control, you become wiser at how and what triggered you to slip. And then you can arm yourself to prevent that again the next time. And through that process of back and forth, you get better, you get stronger, you become more dangerous, you become greater, you know. So it's kind of where I'm at with this monster thing with Jordan Peterson. I'd love to hear the Peterson and Jocko talk, you know, to see. But don't feed him. Don't look for excuses to let him out. You don't need to advertise him. Just keep training, man. Just keep training, and you train by developing mental toughness, fortitude, perspective, control, discipline. You know, I got a couple pages pulled up from which I was pulling quotes from when I was reading, just to see where I was at. And, you know, like, here's one real quick from Jordan. If you think tough men are dangerous, wait until you see what weak men are capable of, right? That quote right there lets me exactly know that I think the way I'm processing this internally is helping me understand what he's going to say when I read his stuff, right? Tough men. Yeah, being tough is different than a monster, right? Like, dangerous. Yeah, interesting. Weak people are capable of doing such tremendous harm, you know. And it brings me back to a Seneca quote that I had the Stoic, you know, been introduced to this quote a while back, and every now and then it pops in my head. And it's always when I'm trying to think, when I get triggered into an emotional place, what's going on, and I'm starting to get angry, whatever, and I'm starting to lose control. And it's like Seneca said, be wary of the man who urges an action in which he himself incurs no risk. And it's like, yeah, I get that. I get that. That settles me. Stop and think. Like, you're trying to get incited to do something, take an action, whatever, but the person that's doing the incitement, it doesn't have any risk involved. It's all your risk. It's interesting. It's an interesting quote that helps pull me back out of an emotional place, you know. But, yeah. I would just advise against people who pull sound bites from great shit. Or they'll get an emphasized quote in the middle of an article, and they'll see that and they'll latch on to it or something, and then it gets spun, taken out of context, and then it gets used inappropriately, and it could build bad behavior, it could build bad thought patterns, understanding, whatever, you know. But just kind of understanding some of the writings of Nietzsche, if you really dig into it and sit, think, and synthesize, you know. Carl Jung, understanding him, and just spend time not jumping at some quick thoughts, you know what I mean? So that's what I did for probably about 18 of the 25 hours that I was driving back and forth, but just thinking about this monster and reaffirming who I am, who I want to be, where I want to go, what I want to do, the advice I want to give, you know, other people, and, you know, just, I think that's my biggest advice for people that are about to do things that they know, if they remember the future on, that they're going to regret, or people that they love are going to regret, you know. And it's like, yeah, don't look for an excuse to be a monster, advertise it. Just focus on your control. Talk to people about how you're controlling it and processing and where you've been triggered to want to lose control, but then how you've reined it back in. And if you can do that, you can do it for yourself. And I, you know, ideally, you know, this is a big fight for me, you know, with my nonprofit, just trying to help people manage suicidal thoughts, get themselves back in control, you know, or I like to call them catastrophic events, you know, because I think domestic abuse is a catastrophic event, you know, extreme alcoholism and drug use is a catastrophic event, potentially just like recklessly driving because you're under so much anger could lead to a catastrophic event. Suicide is a catastrophic event. And so I'm just trying to work through things for the fellas that, hey, maybe they can tap into. Take pride knowing that you've got this monster under control. Not a false pride that you've got some superficial monster on advertisement. Just take tremendous pride that you've got this monster under control inside. Nobody needs to know about him. You don't need to advertise because that's not the purpose, right? The purpose of him isn't to advertise. It isn't to prop your insecurities up or to give you an identity. You know, and I just want to recap too, like not everybody that does. I mean, we talked about the UFC, we talked about boxing, and there's certain personas, and I would even say like law enforcement to a degree, right? Like they have to have a fucking mob because they're going to be called upon to have to protect and serve. And when you're dealing with people that don't have their monsters under control, sometimes you got to unleash your monster. And yeah, that sucks, but man, you don't want to, you know? And when he does get unleashed, you want to make sure that you've got him on a short leash and you're doing things all within the law and with a sense and obligation to morality and being virtuous, right? Like, so there's plenty of places there that it is more appropriate for him to percolate to the surface, you know? But again, it's this nurturing him in other ways by starving him and developing the self-control. And altogether, this conversation is different than a conversation that was sort of tied to it when I was talking to this other buddy of mine, you know, with his son and trying to develop that, like, that aggressive behavior, that appetite for sort of violence in a sporting sense, right? Like on the lacrosse field or on the rugby field or something like that. Like you can see the difference when people are playing, like, this person's tenacious, this person's, you know, and it's like, how do we develop those things in a young man? And I think that's another conversation that's parallel, but not even it's not precisely parallel. And I think if we try to bring those two near parallels closer and closer together, that it gets dangerous. You know, trying to develop aggressive behavior and nurture masculine skills both in our sons and our daughters is very, very important. In times that we're in these days, there seems to be a tremendous and generous wave of trying to suppress things that are masculine or have been identified or classified as masculine in nature, right? Like, I want my daughter to develop, I want both my daughters to develop masculine skills and traits and attitudes towards certain things. You know what I mean? In fact, wanting that for my daughters is exactly not prejudiced, right? Or sexist or biased. It's not really racist, right? Like, but that same thing, right? You would think, oh, well, you want, no. That's, I want to develop masculine and feminine characteristics and traits that are appropriate for my sons and daughters, my son and daughters, so that they can be more capable at life. There's nothing sexist about that. There's nothing weird or ugly or like, and I feel like the times these days are confusing that. And they're trying to, you know, twist those thoughts in our minds to make us think that no. And then everything's adopting. Like, I think the most masculine of people still demonstrate tremendous feminine traits that we consider feminine, you know, like compassion and love and care and nurture, decency, respect, like all those things. And whether the, you know, it's, hey, if it really makes people butt sore about using the word masculine and feminine, then just call them, like, you know, you can't call them alpha traits and bravo traits or whatever traits, because then that's like, hey, we get into that whole thing. It's, hey, we want yellow traits and green traits. I don't care. Boys have both, the combination of yellow and green, and girls have both, the combination of yellow and green, and we need to develop those as appropriate to those individuals so they can become better and capable of life. Like, pick a characterization or a word that helps us with that classification. And I don't think there's anything wrong with masculine and feminine, but people just kind of latch onto that indiscriminately, and then they decide to take offense to that. So another conversation maybe. But I'm looking forward to listening to Jocko and Jordan talk on that podcast. Jordan's got another one too, and then in his new book, he talks about it, like, it's called Beyond Order, the 12 More Rules for Life or something. I got to dig into that one still, but I'd be curious. But yeah, just knowing what you think, or thinking what you think, thinking what you know, I don't know which one it is important before you start to get influenced by other people, because then you can have a baseline to confirm or deny what they're saying, confirm or deny how you believed and where you arrived at believing what you believe, and then you can start to have balance. Otherwise, if you go into a conversation without having a set of pre-founded notions or beliefs or thoughts, you could quickly just buy into the one that's presented to you. Right? That's dangerous. So, anyways, just Google monsters and Jordan Peterson and dangerous men and Seneca and Nietzsche and Jung. Just Google that, and you're going to come across all these articles, and you're going to hear how other people process it. But just be leery, because I've come across a few of them. And I'm like, yeah, hey, no. And you see these super personalities building it up, sensationalizing it, and it ends up twisting what other people believe in and misrepresenting the founding thoughts of it, right? And not maliciously, it's just the nature of it, right? Just the nature of it. But really try to dig in and understand. So anyways, I'm going to stop here. I got to get some stuff done, and look forward to seeing where this next week's going to take us, man. All right, out here.